In Matthew 6, verse 34, we find these words of Jesus in the Sermon on the Mount. Therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about its own things. Sufficient for the day is its own trouble, or each day has trouble enough of its own. Jesus teaches us to take one day at a time, and many times we have to remind ourselves of that, don't we? One day at a time. But then there are those really difficult days that some of our loved ones have experienced recently where we may ask, how can I make it through today? I need strength for today. I'm not worried about tomorrow. I'm concerned about making it through today. When we need strength for today, from where can we get that strength? Well, I want to suggest a few things for us to do during the difficult days, the tough times. And one is that we need to keep our heads bowed in prayer. Keep your heads bowed in prayer. The psalmist said, Psalm 18, verse 6, in my distress, I called upon the Lord and cried out to my God. He heard my voice from his temple, and my cry came before him, even to his ears. The psalmist is confident in that time of distress that he was experiencing, that when he cried out to God, God heard him. He answered his prayers. As far as the New Testament passages on prayer, of many we could cite, I still continue to love and refer back to Philippians 4, verses 6 and 7. I love the way in everything and nothing are contrasted. Be anxious for nothing. Don't worry about anything, Paul says, but in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the result, the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, shall guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. To make it through the difficult days, we need to keep our heads bowed in prayer. And the promise is that when we go to God in everything with prayer and supplication, and even including thanksgiving for the blessings that he's given us, and they're always there if we'll look for them, that he promises his peace that surpasses all understanding. I love what the sign on the front of a church building read. When your knees knock together, kneel on them. When your knees knock together, kneel on them. Abraham Lincoln is credited with this statement. I've been driven many times to my knees by the overwhelming conviction I had nowhere else to go. My own wisdom and that of all about me seemed insufficient for the day. If you think about his experiences and apparently the strength that he sought in prayer, it reminds us when the days are difficult, we need to keep our heads bowed in prayer. Pray for wisdom. James says, if any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask of God, who gives to all liberally and without reproach, and it will be given him. And pray for strength to make it through the day. Isaiah 12, verse 2 says, behold, God is my salvation. I will trust and not be afraid, for Yahweh, the Lord, is my strength and song. He also has become my salvation. The prophet said, the Lord is my strength. We need to pray for strength. Keep our heads bowed in prayer. Number two, we need to get our feet planted on a firm foundation to make it through the day. Psalm 18, verses 1 and 2. I will love you, O Lord, my strength. The Lord is my rock and my fortress and my deliverer, my God, my strength in whom I will trust, my shield and the horn of my salvation, my stronghold. We see whom the psalmist was looking to for his strength to undergird him through the difficult times. You are my strength. You are my rock. You are my fortress, he says. And we need to set our feet and keep our feet planted on the firm foundation of God. A.J. Gordon knows that if you tear down a sparrow's nest, that the little bird will come back and build the nest in the same spot. But if you keep tearing up the sparrow's nest, that it will come back and build it in a different place, a little higher. And A.J. Gordon noted that so often we build our nests or we place our hope in something, and when it doesn't materialize, when it falls apart, we tend to want to rebuild. But the lesson we need to learn is to build it a little higher, to place our hope a little higher. In fact, all the way up into heaven, where our true hope lies. So remember, if things seem to be crumbling about you, where we need to place our hope and where we get our strength for the day. And that's when we plant our feet and keep our feet on that firm foundation. Warren Wiersbe, in Meet Yourself in the Parables, wrote these words: "There's no security in things. In fact, things are deceptive. They appear to be satisfying and lasting when they're actually temporary and unable to satisfy the deepest needs of life. Certainly, God wants us to enjoy the blessings of life. There's nothing spiritual about sitting morosely in a corner and saying, 'These things will not last anyway. Why enjoy them?' God wants us to enjoy His good gifts, just as we want our children to enjoy what we give them. But notice this, but He does not want us to depend on things. He wants us to depend on Him." And so often during the difficult days, we recognize there are some things upon which we cannot depend, and that we can only rely and find strength and stability in Him. Psalm 18:31, "For who is God except the Lord? Who is a rock except our God?" Keep your feet planted on a firm foundation. Thirdly, keep your eyes on the goal. In difficult days, keep your eyes on the goal. Paul did. Philippians 3:13-14. "Brethren, I do not count myself to have apprehended, but one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forward to those things which are ahead, I press toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus." He kept his eyes on the prize. He remembered his goal. And that sustained Paul through many difficult days that he encountered because of persecution from unbelieving Jews, from even Christians who misunderstood about the role of the law of Moses, and through his whom should have been friends to him. He endured so much, but he kept his eyes on the goal. One writer said, "The Christian life should be like a sword with one point, not like a broom ending in many straws. Such a single purpose forgets the past, reaches forward to the future, and presses on. There's no time or place for side issues, diversions to the right or to the left, but keeping your eyes on the goal." As the Hebrew writer says, "Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith." And the wording there, "looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith," means to not be distracted to looking elsewhere, but keep your eyes on Jesus and where following Jesus will lead. I was reminded of this missionary that was returning home. He and his wife were returning home. And there in the port where their ship was about to dock, there was a great crowd gathered. And he found out that it was because also on the same ship in which they were traveling, there was a movie star that was returning home. And that's why this great crowd had come to welcome this movie star back. And the missionary said to his wife, sure would have been nice for some of our brethren to come out to greet us. And I appreciate what she said to him on that occasion. She said, "Remember, honey, the movie star is home, but you're not home yet." Sometimes we need to remember we're not home yet. In the difficult days that we experience in life, remember This life is not all that there is. It isn't our eternal home. There's a far better place that awaits. And sometimes that's the only thing that'll get us through the day. To remember, this is temporary. It's tough. But there's something better in store. I read that in the last daily account of the logbook on Columbus' celebrated voyage, it read, "Sailed all this day due west, which was our course." On the last day of our lives, how noble, if we can truly write, "Sailed all the day due heavenward, which was my course." Stay on course. Keep your eyes on the prize. Look forward to heaven. And realize how much better it is. It's what sustained Abraham. You think about his life and all the things he encountered. But Hebrews 11, 8 through 10 tell us that by faith, Abraham, when called to go a place he would later receive as his inheritance, obeyed and went, even though he didn't know where he was going. By faith, he made his home in the promised land like a stranger in a foreign country. He lived in tents, as did Isaac and Jacob, who were heirs with him of the same promise. For he was looking forward to the city with foundations, whose builder and maker, or architect and builder, is God. He was looking forward. He was looking forward to that city whose architect and builder is God. To make it through the tough days, we need to keep our eyes on the prize. Fourthly, we need to keep our minds filled with hope. The hope that Jesus gives. Psalm 31, 24, "Be strong and take heart, all you who hope in the Lord." The English poet Alexander Pope wrote, "Hope springs eternal in the human breast. Man never is, but always to be blessed." We need to have hope. And hope is what can sustain us when the days are difficult. Where does man turn when his hope dries up? There was a director of a medical clinic that told of a terminally ill young man who came in for his treatment. The doctor had bad news for him. He said that he would likely not survive this bout with cancer. The treatments just weren't working. As the young man left, he stopped by the director's desk and wept. "That man took away my hope." "I guess he did," replied the director. "Maybe it's time to find a new one." And Lewis Smedes, when he was writing about this, asked these questions. Is there a hope when hope is taken away? Is there hope when the situation is hopeless? That question leads us to Christian hope. For in the Bible, hope is no longer a passion for the possible. It becomes a passion for the promise. And I love those words because so many times the word hope is used in the sense of having a passion for the possible. We're hanging on to some hope that something may come to pass. But where our real hope lies is upon the promises that God has given. Because whatever God has promised, He will provide. Listen to these promises then. "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who according to His abundant mercy has begotten us again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. This hope we have," Hebrews 6:19, "as an anchor of the soul, both sure and steadfast, which enters the presence behind the veil." You see, this hope that we have in Christ is eternal. It's not based on the possible, it's based on the promises of God. And that hope that we have because of Jesus is what can sustain us in the difficult days. Life with Christ is an endless hope, but life without Christ is a hopeless end. Therefore, the psalmist says, O Israel, hope in the Lord, for with the Lord there is mercy, and with him is abundant redemption. But also to make it through the difficult days, we need to keep our hearts open toward one another. The tendency is in difficult times, and everyone deals with difficulties differently. And we need to recognize that. And some people, quite frankly, want to have some time alone, and we need to respect that. However, we would also add this caution, to not isolate ourselves for too long a time. Because we're designed to need people. We're designed to need one another. And that's why God instituted, one of the reasons why God instituted the church. So let's keep our hearts open toward one another in the difficult days. It'll help us because we're instructed, bear one another's burdens and so fulfill the law of Christ. And it may be on one occasion, I'm the one who has a burden and I need you to help me. And the tables may turn. But we need to keep our hearts open. Let's encourage one another. Encourage one another daily as long as it's called today, that none of you may be hardened by sin's deceitfulness. Hebrews 3 in verse 13. I read about a young man, Scott Kregel, just a junior in high school. He'd practiced all summer long, 1987, his free throws and jump shots in preparation for the basketball season that would come later. But a serious car accident left Scott in a coma for several days. And when he awoke, he was told about how he was going to have to go through a long rehabilitation process. As with most patients with closed head injuries, Scott balked at doing the slow, tedious work that was required. They even had him stringing beads, and he was insulted by that. So he's growing very discouraged as he was experiencing these difficult days. Well, Tom Martin was the basketball coach at this Christian school where Scott attended. And he had an idea. And Coach Martin told Scott that he would reserve a spot on the varsity team for him if he would cooperate with his physical therapist and show progress in the tasks that he was instructed to do. The coach's wife, Cindy, spent hours with Scott encouraging him to keep going through those tedious processes, those therapies, to help him regain his mobility and strength. Within 2 months, Scott was riding off the basketball court on his teammate's shoulders. He'd made 9 straight free throws to clinch a triple overtime victory. How was he able to do it? In part because people kept their hearts open toward him, encouraged him in his difficult days. We need that encouragement. We need to give that encouragement. Let's lift one another up, encourage one another, comfort each other and edify, build one another up. 1 Thessalonians 5:11, Paul says, just as you are doing. In the difficult days, keep your heart open to others. You can be a blessing. You can receive a blessing from the encouragement of those who love you. And then finally, we need to keep our hands at the work of God. Keep serving Him faithfully. Even though we may be in difficult days, there's still God's work that needs to be done. The gospel needs to be taught. People need to be reached. The young people need to be encouraged. Homes need to be strengthened. The weak still need to be made stronger. And it may be that in our difficult days, that we're best able to help others or be helped by others. We need to keep our hands busy doing the work of God. Paul says, "My beloved brethren, be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that your labor is not in vain in the Lord." Galatians 6:9, "Let us not grow weary while doing good, for in due season we shall reap if we do not lose heart." Keep doing God's work. Keep being God's person. No matter how difficult the days may get. There was a farmer, had a large acreage of beautiful grain that was all destroyed because of a hailstorm. And he and his son went out to survey the damage. And his son was just overcome with emotion and was couldn't hold the tears back. And he looked up at his dad expecting to see the same, but was surprised by his dad's response when he heard his father begin to sing, "Rock of ages, cleft for me, let me hide myself in thee." That son went out into the world and he met trials and disappointments himself. And years later, looking back to the time of the hailstorm that destroyed their crop of grain, and reflecting on his father's response, he said that was the most powerful sermon he'd ever heard. "Rock of ages, cleft for me, let me hide myself in thee." There may be days that are difficult. There may be days where we wonder, "I'm not worried about tomorrow. How can I make it through today?" Plant your feet on that firm foundation. Keep your head bowed in prayer. Keep doing the work of God. Keep your heart open to others and the encouragement that you can give and to receive. But hide yourself in Him. That's how we survive the difficult days. Have you hid yourself in the Rock of Ages? Are you a child of God this evening? It may be that you're ready to obey the gospel of Jesus Christ. It may be that you need the prayers of the church because you may be going through difficult days. Let's realize Jesus said one day at a time, and that He'll provide the strength to make it each day. If you need to respond to the invitation of Jesus, please come right now as we stand and sing.